I don't make excuses. To excuse myself is to accuse myself. I seek to make it right. Trust can be broken in a moment, but it takes time to rebuild it. And I continue to love steadfastly and just pray, search me, O God, and know my heart.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey team, first of all, let me kick this off with a heartfelt Happy New Year. My prayer for you in 2021 is that you have a closer alignment with the Lord, deeper faith, expanded influence, and a powerful sense of His divine call in your life. With that being said, today on the podcast, we're talking about the proficiency of being trustworthy. And my guest is Dr. Mike Pennington, Associational Mission Strategist for Bledsoe Baptist Association in Gallatin, Tennessee. Great to have you with us, Mike.
Thanks, Rick. It is a joy to be here.
Hey, before we get to the questions, fill us in on your family and your ministry history that's brought you to this point as an AMS.
Well, I am joyfully married to Christy for 43 years. We have two children and six incredible, smartest ever grandchildren. And so we are highly, highly blessed. I've been an AMS for Bledsoe Association for the last 24 years. Before that, I was a church planter developer in Caracas, Venezuela for 12 years with the Foreign Mission Board. And so a lot of experience that I gained in Caracas in Venezuela has definitely translated and helped me in my ministry as an AMS. So very thankful to have been able to minister to pastor in churches in Bledsoe for the last 24 years.
So many great IMB missionaries have made that transition to AMS. And because with the missional training that you get with IMB, it's such a wonderful transition to come back stateside and become an AMS.
It really has. Many friends of mine from IMB and FMB days are great AMSs now. It's really a joy.
No doubt. So Caracas, huh? How was that before the current political situation?
Yes. Venezuela was a great place to be and to work back in those days. We left in 1995, and those political struggles really surfaced about 2 years later.
Okay, wonderful. So you got to enjoy the country in all its beauty.
Yes, the country and the people in all their beauty. And churches were strong and prospering then, but churches are still strong and prospering. They are struggling financially, but God is still blessing and people are trusting the Lord and coming to know Him as Savior and Lord in Venezuela today as well.
Amen. That's so good. Hey, we're human beings and we convey with words, body language as well, but words are very important to us. Words have meaning. So let me ask you this to kick it off. What is the most important word in the English language, and how does that relate to the theme of trustworthy?
When I was a seminary student in Dr. Oscar Thompson's evangelism class, he posed a question one day. What is the most important word in the English language other than proper nouns? And several in the class responded with love, but he said, well, I beg to differ. The most important word in the English language is relationship, because without a relationship, love has nowhere to go. So to be a trustworthy AMS, I've got to have good relationships with pastors and churches and church leaders.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And as we lead churches and Christian leaders, who would be the best biblical example of a trustworthy leader?
Well, I love the Apostle Paul, and he makes an interesting comment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, we were entrusted by God with the gospel. Wow, what a statement, to be entrusted by God. And so I began to just ask the question, especially after being tasked with writing this chapter on trustworthy, what made Paul so trustworthy? Why did God entrust him with the gospel? And the second chapter definitely provides some clues. He had a pure heart. There was great gentleness and strength. He was transparent and intimate. He was steadfast in the midst of opposition and suffering. And if we look at the fruit, he says that the churches there were proclaiming the gospel in every place. They had become disciples and missionaries. One other thing about that example of the Apostle Paul, he says, we were approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. When he says we there, that hopefully includes me. I want to be a trustworthy leader as well.
Don't you think that comes with kind of a weight, right? A spiritual weight. If God has entrusted us with being a trustworthy leader, it's something that we really need to take seriously.
Absolutely. It is a heavy responsibility, but thankfully we're yoked with the Lord Jesus Christ and He walks alongside us, and it's because of Him that we can be trustworthy.
Amen to that. You and I both work with leaders all the time. And in our own leadership journey, we try to be the best leader of leaders that we can be. And it seems that trustworthy is a buzzword today in business and society, and it's really a buzzword in the church as well. What are some insights that you've discovered from marketplace leaders?
Well, if you Google trustworthy or how to be trustworthy, you come up with a plethora of information. I found some nuggets, though, that really, really have helped me as I am walking along as a leader. One was, this is just a marketplace person. She was writing on Inc.com. Her name was Kat Bogard. But the title of the article was 7 Things That Trustworthy People Do Differently. And that caught my attention. It's not rocket science what she mentions, but you know, trustworthy people, what they do differently, they follow through, they go above and beyond, they avoid gossip, they're authentic, they underpromise, they own their mistakes, and they forge relationships. And so she gets back to Dr. Oscar Thompson's relationship word as well. But one that really did speak to me out of her list of things was they underpromise. It is so easy when somebody asks us a question or they have a need and we say, well, hey, I'll take care of it. It's easy to overpromise. If we will underpromise and overdeliver, that really enhances trust.
I agree with you 100%. And I know in my own life, that's a practice that I try to constantly be aware of.
It is so important that we be authentic and make sure that we keep our promises. A couple of other things about trustworthy I discovered in the marketplace. Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx, said at the end of the day, we're all essentially selling trust. Stephen Covey has said that nothing moves faster than the speed of trust. And so a trustworthy leader must have both credibility and reliability. If I'm credible and reliable, trust is established and will increase.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, you mentioned Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust, and that's been mentioned a couple other times on the podcast, and it's really a great book. I want to do a shout out and say to our AMS brothers, if you have not read The Speed of Trust by Stephen M. R. Covey, then you need to pick that up and give it a read. It essentially says with higher trust, there's higher speed in an organization, and with lower trust, there's lower speed in an organization. And then the corollary to that is lower trust causes higher cost and higher trust causes less cost. It's a phenomenal book. And thanks for mentioning that, Mike. I agree with you. It's a phenomenal book. So you and I both know life is not perfect. And unfortunately, relationships sometimes become strained and trust can even be broken. What do you do to restore trust in a broken relationship?
Well, it takes great humility, love, and perseverance. If I have wounded a relationship, and obviously none of us would go into a situation wanting to break trust, that is never our goal, but sometimes things are misunderstood, and all of a sudden we've got a relationship that needs to be restored. So I own it. I'm proactive toward reconciliation. Andy Stanley has said, you never drift in good directions. And so things just don't get better on their own. I have to be proactive and move forward. A few other things that I've discovered is I don't make excuses. To excuse myself is to accuse myself. I seek to make it right. And it's really important to give it time. Trust can be broken in a moment, but it takes time to rebuild it. And I continue to love steadfastly and just pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. A spiritual director and counselor coach that I have talked with is named Chuck DeGroat. He is a seminary professor in Michigan. And Chuck has helped me a great deal in this. He says, approach any wounded relationship with curiosity, not defensiveness and not criticism, but approach any relationship with curiosity. Ask questions like how, when, what? Open-ended questions help open up and restore relationships. And I've used that technique in a couple of strained relationships that I have had, and it really does work. If I'm curious, not making excuses, not ever being defensive or critical, but just seeking for information, God restores relationships, and it's been effective in my life.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I've heard it said, it's anecdotal, of course, but it takes 20 acts of following through in pure trust to repair one lapse of trust, one incident of broken trust. And so I would speculate that maybe it takes even more than 20 sometimes.
Yes, if a relationship has been wounded, it takes diligence, it takes humility, it takes great love, and it definitely takes time, but it's worth it. It's worth it to pay whatever price in order to restore a broken relationship.
Mike, I am very sure that today on the podcast, there's an AMS listening that has broken trust with his pastors. And as unfortunate as that is, what needs to happen for that to be repaired?
Well, I pick up the telephone and give a call. And if they don't answer, I leave just a warm voicemail saying, hey, just calling to check on you. Want you to know I love you. Would love for us to get together sometime. And so just be very brief. And if they don't respond to that, I follow up with a text and say, hey, I hope you got my voicemail. When could we get together? Again, asking those open-ended questions. When could we get together? What is a time that we could talk? That's the first step, is we've got to make contact again. Hopefully, the person will respond. And in my life, when I've had a strained relationship, people do respond to that kind of humility. It takes great humility. And you don't confess on the phone in a voicemail, but just say, I love you. I appreciate your ministry. When can we get together? Please call me back at your earliest convenience, but never put any pressure on. Just be open, humble, and loving in everything that you do.
And you mentioned don't put any pressure on. And so I want to just throw out there, it's something that takes time. You need to go into repairing relationship with time. So anything other than time will seem overbearing and non-patient. As Mike suggests, make that call. But then don't make a call at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and then another at 4 o'clock and then another at 8 the next day. Give it time. People need time to contemplate, to think, and to allow you back into their life after you've broken trust. Mike, if one of our brothers out there is struggling still and he's thinking he would just love to talk to someone about his specific situation, would you be willing to give your email address so that that brother could reach out to you?
Absolutely. I would love to talk to anyone that I might could minister to in that way. My email address is M-A and then last name Pennington, P-E-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, 77@gmail.com. So mapennington77@gmail.com.
Thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to bring it a little personal now, and I want you to tell us about your journey as a trustworthy leader. Are you still growing in this area?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that I'll be growing until I go to be with the Lord. One of the great things that has happened to me really in the last several years is discovering something that I call soul care. Taking care of the inner person in order to be an effective minister and trustworthy leader with people. I've discovered that myself, me, wounded, struggling, broken, that I'm a beloved child of God.
Amen.
And I am growing in that sense of belovedness. Jesus, when he was baptized in Mark chapter 1, it says that the heavens were opened and God declared, it actually says the heavens were torn open, and God declared, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. It's interesting, Jesus had not done any miracles at that point. He had not walked on water. He had not healed a leper. He had not raised anyone from the dead. And yet he was beloved by God because of relationship. Some might say, well, you know, that is just so basic. Is that important? Yes, we live in a performance-driven world. And for me to understand that I am beloved is just overwhelming. And it's made such a difference in my life. And because of being beloved, because of understanding that I am beloved, and I resisted it. I really did, because I thought, okay, Jesus is beloved, yes. But me, broken, wounded me, could I be possibly beloved? And God says yes. God says yes, that if we receive him, we become children of God, that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And I discovered in my own life that there are so many things that I believe with all my head, but they've not totally penetrated into my heart. I have great sermons on the love of God and his unconditional love for us, but I've experienced it in a deeper, deeper level now than ever before. And because of my belovedness, I can now give it away. I listen more and I talk less. That is a key in maintaining trustworthy relationships.
Absolutely.
Is really hearing, really listening, really understanding what another person is experiencing.
Wow, what a great word to taper off the podcast with. Thank you, Mike. Hey, you and I both know that a healthy leader has an openness to learn by questioning and reevaluating their own presuppositions. Let me ask you this question. What's one thing that you've recently changed your mind about?
Well, I have to go back to belovedness, understanding how loved I am and how loved other people are. I am just continually wanting to make sure that others know that I have their best interest at heart, that I'm listening, that I'm a servant, that I am wanting to walk with them in the deep areas of their life, even the painful areas of their life. Just consider what we went through in 2020 with the coronavirus and all of the changes that that made in how we minister to people. We have to understand that we've got to have great emotional health in order to be a trustworthy and healthy leader ourselves. We've got to understand our belovedness, that we are in an unconditional love relationship with the Father, and that will never change. He will never love me more, but He will never love me less, and I walk in that. And part of emotional health is also understanding how that we are a unit, where we can't compartmentalize. I tried to do that for years, but I've understood now that what my life is, maybe it's like an iceberg. You only see 10%, but below that is family and past and hurts and dreams, career, sexuality. All of those things make up the total person. So I can't live my life in a one silo for work and one for family and one for vacation. I am a unit, and that unit needs to be emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, soul healthy as we go forward. And one final thing, I just discovered this recently that came out of a book by Brené Brown called Dare to Lead. Discussing trust, you made this comment. It turns out that trust is in fact earned in the smallest of moments. Not through heroic deeds or even highly visible actions, but through paying attention, listening, and gestures of genuine care and connection. That really sums up a lot of what we've talked about today. Trust can be broken in a small moment, but it really is built in the smallest of moments when we genuinely care and love and listen.
Man, Mike, I really want to thank you for such a good word today. And if you're an AMS listening today or other leader, associational leader or pastor, I just want to let you know you are beloved. Our Father is full of grace, and that grace resides in His people. So even in a situation where you've broken trust, God's grace resides in those that you've broken that trust with. And in time, He will repair that. We thank you for what you do as an AMS, as a leader within the association, or as a pastor. Thank you for feeding the flock. Once again, my guest today is Dr. Mike Pennington, Associational Mission Strategist for Bledsoe Baptist Association in Gallatin, Tennessee. Hey, Mike, thanks again for sitting down with me today. I really, truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rick. It has been my joy.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information, or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.